It's December the 12th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey. We hopped on the Bible bus in January, and the bus has just been motoring down the road and up the hill of God's revelation. We are not far from the peak. Can you see it? I mean, I can see it. It's not far. I mean, we've got, what, less than 3 weeks to go, and we will have arrived at the end of the Bible. What an amazing journey it's been. Thank you. Whether you joined us in January, February, March, early part of the year, or over the summer, or just the last few weeks, it doesn't matter. We are so glad to have you. Just a reminder, you can find all these videos. All of them are archived online, Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, but especially keepbelieving.com. That's the best place. Go to keepbelieving.com, click on the link that says, Let's Read the Bible. That will take you to a page where on that page, you can download the reading guide for the whole year and the explanation of why we're doing it this particular way. And then underneath that, organized by month, all the videos for the year so far, January, February, March, April, May, June, all the way through December the 12th. This video is up on the Keep Believing website. So reminder, from now until Jesus comes, as God wills, these videos are going to be online and available for you to listen to and watch anytime, 24/7, 365. Also, if you'd rather listen to the audio podcast, you can find Let's Read the Bible! On Spotify, on Google Play, and on iTunes. And that also is free. So, 2 Peter chapters 1, 2, and 3 are a very short book. Oh, I did this. I thought this was great. A friend writes and says, yes, I listen to on my morning walk. Since I don't have earbuds, my border collie is one of your loyal listeners since I joined in January. Well, that's amazing. Here we are in December. Well, thank you to you and to the, you know, I think it's great. People have sent me pictures of themselves and their children and their grandchildren and sometimes their cat and a couple pictures of dogs with them looking with, I can look at the picture and I can see the dog and I can see my face in the picture there on the video. My border collie is one of your loyal listeners since I joined in January. We've heard you every day. I'm so very grateful to you and to your team. Let me say, we are very grateful to you for joining us. Now, 2 Peter. So we've already done 1 Peter. Remember, written to these early Gentile Christians who were scattered Asia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and so on. Those were Roman provinces in Asia Minor, which today we call modern-day Turkey. That's 1 Peter. 2 Peter, written sometime later, near the end of Peter's life, but to those same Christians scattered throughout Asia Minor. A little different tone, because, in fact, I consider what's going to call 2 Peter final words from the rock. Final words from the rock. This is, of course, you know, your name is Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, this is Peter's final words, written, we believe, from Rome to the Christians in Asia Minor near the end of his life. You remember Jesus said in John 21 that when you're old, Peter, they will take you and lead you where you do not want to go. You will glorify me by the way you will die. But Jesus was predicting to Peter, Peter, though you fail me in the past, you will not fail me again. He was predicting Peter's ultimate faithfulness. Tradition says, it's not in the Bible, but tradition says that when they took Peter out to crucify him, that he did not want to, he felt unworthy to be crucified in the manner of his Lord. And tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. You know, there was tremendous, under Emperor Nero, there was an outbreak of terrible persecution against Christians that spread across the Roman Empire. And a lot of it had to do with the simple fact they regarded Christians as enemies, enemies of the king. Wasn't really true. But you know what they said, what Rome said, that you could have whatever religion you wanted and pray to whatever god you wanted, but one day a year, you had to take one little pinch of incense and you had to say, Caesar is Lord. Not Caesar is God, but Caesar is Lord. Kyrios, that's the very same Greek word that means Lord in the New Testament. And the Christians wouldn't do it. Some people thought they were crazy. It's just one day out of the year. It's just one pinch of incense. It's just one sentence. One day, one pinch, one sentence. Surely you can go along with the crowd. But Christians refused. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, when everybody else was bowing down and they stood up, the early Christians were persecuted. They were thrown to the lions. They were dipped in the tallow, and then they were lit up as if they were candles. Peter now, knowing that his fate is to die as a Christian, he's writing, and he's saying three things to these young Gentile believers. Number one, never stop growing. Number two, beware of false teachers. Number three, get ready for his coming. There's a call to holiness in chapter one. False teachers are exposed in chapter two. There's a focus on God's ultimate purpose in chapter three. Say it another way. There's a declaration in chapter one. There's a denunciation in chapter two. And there's a determination in chapter three. So, Lord, speak to us. We have these words, the final words from Peter the Rock, who gave everything for as a follower of Jesus. Lord, teach us from his closing words. Give us his strength and courage to live for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, or Simeon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made clear to me. And I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with Him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, you got it? That's the call to holiness, the declaration. We must grow in grace, because the message of grace is based on the truth that is in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 1. Now, 2 Peter 2, false teachers exposed. Denunciation. There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, and they will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned because of them. They will exploit you in their greed with made-up stories. Their condemnation, pronounced long ago, is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. For if God didn't spare the angels who sinned, but cast them into hell and delivered them in chains of utter darkness to be kept for judgment, and if he didn't spare the ancient world but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others when he brought the flood on the world of the ungodly, and if he reduced the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes and condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is coming to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, distressed by the depraved behavior of the immoral, for as that righteous man lived among them day by day, his righteous soul was tormented by the lawless deeds he saw and heard, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who follow the polluting desires of the flesh and despise authority. Bold, arrogant people, they are not afraid to slander the glorious ones. However, angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a slanderous charge against them before the Lord. But these people, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct born to be caught and destroyed, slander what they do not understand, and in their destruction, they too will be destroyed. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. They consider it a pleasure to carouse in broad daylight. They are spots and blemishes, delighting in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery. They never stop looking for sin. They seduce unstable people and have hearts trained in greed. Children under a curse, they have gone astray by abandoning the straight path and have followed the path of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness but received a rebuke for his lawlessness. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water, mist driven by a storm. The gloom of darkness has been reserved for them, for by uttering boastful, empty words, they seduce with fleshly desires and debauchery people who have barely escaped from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them. For if, having escaped the world's impurity through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in these things and defeated, the last state is worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy command delivered to them. It has happened to them according to their own proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a washed sow returns to wallowing in the mud. 2 Peter 3. There's a call to holiness. Hard times are coming, Peter's saying. You better get ready. You're not strong enough. I'm going to die and leave you. I don't want to make clear what my message is. You got to keep growing in grace, because these false teachers, they're going to rise up from among you, lead many people astray. So here comes the determination. You got to focus on God's purpose. Chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now the second letter I have written to you. In both letters, I want to stir up your sincere understanding by way of reminder, so that you recall the words previously spoken by the holy prophets and the command of our Lord and Savior given through your apostles. Above all, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days, scoffing and following their own evil desires, saying, "Where is his coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors fell asleep, all things continue as they have since the beginning of creation." They deliberately overlook this. By the word of God, the heavens came into being long ago, and the earth was brought about from water and through water. Through these, the world of that time perished when it was flooded. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. Because of that day, the heavens will be dissolved with fire and the elements will melt with heat. But based on His promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, while you wait for these things, make every effort to be found without spot or blemish in His sight, at peace. Also, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our dear brother Paul has written to you according to the wisdom given to him. He speaks about these things in all his letters. There are some things hard to understand in them. The untaught and unstable will twist them to their own destruction, as they all do with the rest of the Scriptures. Therefore, dear friends, since you know this in advance, be on your guard so that you're not led astray by the error of lawless people and fall from your own stable position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Long time ago, when I was a student at Dallas Seminary back in the mid-70s, toward the end of my time there, was there for 4 years, I took a lot of courses in Greek. I took one from S. Lewis Johnson, great Bible expositor. I took one from Zane Hodges, also a great Bible expositor and a brilliant professor of Greek. And Zane Hodges taught a course called the General Epistles, and it was Hebrews, and it was James, and it was 1st and 2nd Peter. The biggest part of the semester, as you can imagine, was on that great book of Hebrews. But toward the end, we got to 2nd Peter, and we went through it. And it's funny how the things that you remember, it's been almost 50 years, and I lost those notes, whatever notes I took from that class, especially on 2nd Peter. Long time ago, I lost all that. But he had us write out what I guess you'd call it, theme statement for each of those books. And then he would give us his. And I don't remember what he said for James or what he said for 1 Peter. But I don't know why, but this one stuck in my mind. I remember the one all these years later Zane Hodges gave us on 2 Peter. It's sort of this was his summary, the theme of the book. Believers must continue to grow in grace in light of approaching denials of the Christian's hope. Must be good, because effortlessly, that just came floating back up into my mind. Believers must continue to grow in grace in light of approaching denials of the Christian's hope. And that's exactly right. Chapter 1. Did you see where the book began and ended? Peter said, I'm going to die. Peter's an old man. He's going to die a rough death. He's not going to die an easy death. In fact, none of the apostles died an easy death, and that includes John, who was exiled to Patmos. None of them had the privilege of dying a relatively quiet and peaceful death without any trouble. And Peter certainly didn't. He was put to death in the persecution under Nero, and tradition says crucifixion, terrible, but to be crucified upside down, an unspeakable kind of suffering. And Peter's concerned. He's not complaining at the end. He just says, I know the Lord's made it clear. And I think Roman made it clear his time on earth was coming to an end. He'd never, these Christians in Asia Minor, he's never going to see them again. Never going to see them. And so he wants to say, chapter 1, you got to grow in grace. But you see at the end, it's the very last verse, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? It's not, sometimes we talk about growing in grace as if just grow so you can know and love the Lord more. True. But that's not Peter's point. Peter's point is hard times are coming. And from among you, people who quote, call themselves Christians, they're going to come up from among you. False teachers, they're already twisting Paul's words. They're twisting the whole Bible. They're turning the grace of God into licentiousness. They're preaching immorality and sexual perversion, and they're denying the deity of Christ. And in chapter 3, they are denying that Jesus is going to come again. Why? Because it's been so long, so long. And Peter said, you've forgotten what God did in the days of Noah, as he destroyed the world, covered it with water, and started again. So indeed, there's going to come a judgment of fire. So world pass away. There's going to be a new heavens and new earth. And between now and then, we wait. God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's patient toward you and me, not willing that any should perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. Now is the day. Now is the day of salvation. So let me just wrap up and say Christmas is coming. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. You ought to rejoice that you know him. And let us wait patiently. As we move up toward Christmas, let's remind ourselves that God keeps his promises. Yes, he does. This is the day of grace. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. So let's go out and have a great day. Let's grow in the grace of God. Let's stand on the truth of God, and let's share the gospel of God. We can say to anyone we meet today, God wants you to come to repentance. There's a place for you at his table. You can be forgiven for all your sins forever. So, with that good news on your lips and joy in your heart in this Christmas season, go out, grow in grace, stand on the truth, and spread the good news of Jesus wherever you go. Have a great day. Come back tomorrow. Back to the Old Testament. Book of Habakkuk. Great book. We'll see you then. God bless.